Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Step Tomasino moves in, quick shot, block, save, score! So Vlasic blocked the first shot after that. Not the best of passes by Bonino across the ice to Mark Edouard. And then it's in the back of the goal as the Predators take the 2-0 lead, only a minute and 28 seconds into the period. That was Tomasino that had the shot blocked, but trailing the play, the shot was fired toward the net, and Tanner Jeannot, no, it's going to be Granlund that gets it. He gets credit for the goal and a broken play. It's 2-0 Nashville.
I don't think so. I think that's, you know, one of the things in this league that's great with an 82-game schedule is that it seems like you pretty much get another chance 48 hours later, right? And like I said before, there's a lot of reasons to play hard. You know, I think anytime you put on the NHL sweater, it's a privilege and an opportunity. That's how I always try to look at it. And if you do catch yourself having a rough game, you know, you got to take advantage of the opportunity that you're given. I think, you know, we obviously all know what how we're looking in the standings and what might be happening here in the next couple of days with, you know, the trade deadline coming up. So I think there'll be plenty of opportunity for guys to step up, and you know, overall we want to move in the right direction as an organization, and I think that's a great opportunity for guys to showcase that they want to be a part of moving in that new direction going forward here.
All right, good morning everyone. That was an unfortunately flat performance from the San Jose Sharks last night, who, in addition to not having a lot of life, did not have the ability to take advantage of all the opportunities they were given. I don't think there was any bigger moment in the game than when the Sharks had two consecutive power plays in the third period when it was a 4-2 game. They had a chance to get themselves back into it. They did not find a way to get a goal to make it a one-goal game. It was just a flat night across the board. And if there is any saving grace from what we've seen from the San Jose Sharks this year, it is their ability to bounce back from a bad night with a positive night the next time out. So what's the next time out? It's going to be a very emotional, very much a highlight game of the year in which they are retiring Patrick Marleau's number. So hopefully the Sharks will show up in that game. But you could just see it right off the bat. The first 10 minutes of the first period, the Sharks were not very engaged, were not very just alert and alive. It seemed like it took them a while in each of the first two periods to really kind of wake up. And I thought that, you know, that's a good way to get down 2-0, obviously, but they just didn't look like they had their A game, and it didn't take long for us to figure that out. And the Sharks just never had a response to what was going on from Nashville. And I give, you know, Nico Sturm, who is as hard-nosed and effort-filled guy as we've seen on the Sharks in recent years, like, I love his effort every night out. I looked at his shorthanded goal, and, you know, I'm thinking to myself, that's the guy who's trying to get this going. And listen, I hope that, you know, next year he is wearing a letter on his shirt, because the way he has played this year, the type of effort he's put forth, the way that he speaks after the games, the no-nonsense, no BS accountability factor that we have come to learn about him, I mean, that's exactly what you want from a leader on your squad. And just, you know, he was doing his job. He was trying to get the Sharks re-engaged at that point. And then shortly thereafter, after it's a 2-1 game, Erik Karlsson comes out of the box after, you know, on the same penalty kill, which they just scored on, has a breakaway, is not able to bury it. And I'm thinking, God, that would have changed everything, because you would have had the two quick goals in succession. You would have had, you know, the shorthanded goal combined by the game tying goal, and it could have changed the entire outlook of the game, and the Sharks weren't able to get that done. And then, you know, they did eventually find a way to make it a 4-2 game, and then they've got the power plays in the third period where they just can't find anything on the power play. And all night long, the power play looked just as flat as the entirety of the team did. And yes, there were some bright spots. I like Nico Sturm's game. I like Noah Gregor's game. I thought Mario Ferraro had a good game. I thought Vlasic was trying to make things happen. I thought, you know, Erik Karlsson was trying to make things happen. But over the course of the entirety of the game, it was just too many things over and over and over. You could see the bad passes. You could see the poor decision-making. And it wasn't like they were trying to, you know, do the spinorama behind the back, you know, Harlem Globetrotters type stuff. It was just like they didn't quite know where Nashville was going to be, and far too often they were making plays right into Nashville's sticks, which was facilitating their offense, putting things in the opposite direction where you're not in good defensive structure going back, and lo and behold, Nashville was able to take advantage of it when we got deeper and deeper into the game, and, you know, it's a 4-2 game, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, a lot more ugly after that. And I also think the fact that you had it at 2-1 with the chance to tie at 2-2, and then a couple of minutes later, they go up 3-1, and then with, you know, less than 30 seconds left in the period, they go up 4-1. That was demoralizing in and of itself, and it just felt like too many times the Sharks, when they had the opportunity to reestablish themselves in the game, they were not able to do so. And against a team like Nashville, who has been playing better as of late and is fighting to get back into the playoff race, you are, you know, you're going to see a really high-spirited effort. It's one of the things that I warned about in the build-up yesterday, and it's not like this is some great insight to me, but it's like the Sharks know what it's like to be a desperate team. The Sharks know what it's like to be playing for their season, and although the circumstances in which the Sharks have played for their season are different than the way that Nashville was playing for their season last night, you knew that a high-caliber effort was on the horizon. You knew that Nashville was going to be bringing it, and the Sharks didn't match that intensity, and beyond not matching the intensity, they were not able to put the puck in the back of the net when they had their chances. They were not able to be clean with the puck. They were not able to stop Nashville. And again, it was just a flat night. And I don't want to say that anyone's effort was bad, because I'm not one of those. I know they're trying hard. I know that these professional athletes, more than anything, they don't want to be embarrassed. And I don't think the last night was an embarrassing effort per se, but it just looked like more than a few guys were off their A game. When you combine all those factors with a team that is playing for their playoff lives, it's going to be a tough night. And one of the things that I thought was most interesting is that Nico Sturm pointed out, like, hey, everybody knows what has the potential to happen here over the next few days. You know, we have a week from this morning now, or a little bit later in the day, but a week from today, that we are going to see the trade deadline, and we know that there is a huge deal of speculation about what's going to be on the Sharks after that point, or who's going to be gone, and who's not going to be gone. I mean, if you want to get into the specifics, I saw Corey Massasek of The Athletic tweet out that, you know, the Oilers had two representatives in the building last night, including assistant general manager Brad Holland. So, I mean, that gives you an idea of where things are. Like, this smoke, of which we're seeing a lot of, you know, there might be some pretty intense fires burning behind it. Now, that doesn't mean that trades are done or that things are going to happen, but when we talk about speculation this time of year, when we talk about the way that, you know, we're looking at the different values of prospects and players and picks and stars and the moment for different teams, like, yeah, there's some stark reality to it. You know, who have the Edmonton Oilers been linked to more than anyone else over the last few weeks? Erik Karlsson. I mean, let's not joke about that. That's the reality. I mean, they had guys in the building last night ostensibly scouting him and maybe more. So this is something most definitely to pay attention to. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but Nico Sturm alluded to it there, bringing us in. We all know what has the potential to happen, and guys did not put up a good enough effort last night. And it wasn't that they were without effort. It just wasn't good enough. It wasn't on par with what the opposition was bringing. That said, there were reasons for hope. Once again, Martin Kaut, in his second game with the San Jose Sharks, showed a lot that you like in his game, and you can see the reason why Tomas Hertl was a fan and is a friend of his, and they trained together and told the Sharks front office that he's a good player. I mean, I'm watching him immediately look like he could be an impact player and a good pickup for the future. He might not be a star by any means, but is he a guy who can make a difference in the game? Yeah. And he's good to have on the roster right now, and there might be something there for the future. And Mikey Esamon continues to fly around the ice everywhere. Absolutely love the energy and passion that he brings every single time that he's out there for his shift. He goes full tilt every single time he's out there, and I'm sure that's because he's trying to prove that he belongs and that he wants to be here next year, and that's what Nico Stern was alluding to. He said that, you know, guys have to find something to play for, regardless of whether or not the Sharks are in the playoff race right now, whether it's your job, whether it's a contract, whether it's pride, whatever it is, you got to find something to play for, and Mikey Esamont, one way or another, is proving himself as being exceptionally valuable since being picked up by the Sharks. And, you know, it sucks for James Reimer because, you know, there were some tip goals. There were some weird goals. I didn't think he had a bad night in any way, shape, or form. I thought that the Sharks did not play particularly well in front of him. But that's life in professional sports. You know, a couple days ago, James Reimer was having one of his nicest games of the year back after a long layoff due to injury. Like I said, had that shutout. And then last night, he's getting, you know, a night where guys on your team are reaching out to deflect shots and block shots, and it goes off their stick and into the net. I mean, that's, again, life in professional sports. Sometimes it goes your way. Sometimes it most definitely does not. And you also take into consideration the fact that the Sharks did not have Timo Meier in the lineup last night, and I'm not trying to be cute or anything, but it might be something that they have to get used to. And if that is the case, then they need to be able to be better than what they put out there last night. And that's obvious to know that you're not going to be as good when you're missing one of your best players, but you know, you have to have other ways to make up for it. And on Monday, without Meier and without Hurdle, the Sharks got a very spirited performance and were able to get a win against Seattle. But every game is going to be different. You can't expect the circumstances and the breaks that you got in one game to replicate themselves for the next game. It'd be great if you could, but that's just not how it goes in professional sports. You know, teams adapt. Teams adjust. They see what you did a game before, and they're going to try and make sure that doesn't happen again. All in all, it's not like this is one of the worst performances we've seen from the Sharks all year, because there have been much worse, in my opinion. It was just one that was lacking overall energy and fire for whatever reason. And you would hope that that is going to be a motivating factor going into the game on Saturday night, that they, A, did not play well last night, and they want to make up for it and give their fans a better show. And also, Saturday night is going to be an emotionally charged night when they do have Chicago in town, when they do have Patrick Marleau to honor, when they do have so many, you know, big names from the past of the franchise in the building. You know, it should be a special night. It should be a special moment. Unfortunately, you can't bank on a win with this team this year, and I'm not trying to be inflammatory or anything, but it's true. I mean, Chicago already came in here once this year and beat the Sharks. After going up 2-0, Chicago scored 5 unanswered. And I want to say a couple of those were shorthanded as well. I don't remember completely off the top of my head, or may have tried to block it out. But again, the motivation is there for the Sharks to have a much better night than what they had last night. And that's one of the big things that we've talked about all year long, is the Sharks have not had 2 very bad nights back-to-back since the 0-5 start to the season. And even in the midst of the 0-5 start, you know, there were some good efforts in there that they just didn't get the break and didn't get the bounces, and they ended up with a loss when all was said and done. So you take into account that the Sharks have been pretty good at bouncing back from a bad performance, of which we classify last night. Like, again, I don't want to be hyperbolic and I don't want to be over the top. It's not like last night was some shameful performance. It just wasn't on par with what we've seen from the Sharks consistently this year. And when they have had these bad efforts, when they have had these nights that are not on par with what we usually see from them, they do a good job of bouncing back. And then, you know, I would imagine we're probably going to get Kakinen in net on Saturday night, and he's probably, you know, raring to go to jump back in and get his opportunity, and I would like to see that. You know, you want to have the idea where guys want to be out there, where guys are fighting to get out there on the ice. I'm not saying that James Reimer doesn't want to be out there, but again, the motivation is there for Kakinen to try and prove himself that he can be out there and he can be the number one guy. And you want to get more of a proof positive performance from a guy like Kaut. And you want more from Esamont. And you want, you know, Bonino and Couture and all these guys to go out there and prove to themselves and the fan base that they can do better than what we saw in the most recent game on Thursday night. And again, that's, to me, sets the stage for a high caliber performance on Saturday night, even though you can't bank on it. One thing that we saw in both of the last 2 games, even though I didn't think it was quite as bad on Monday, is that, you know, not necessarily a slow start on Monday, but just a little bit, you know, incapable of getting a lot of shots on net. And then last night they were just slow overall with their pace, but just open up with a bit of intensity. That was particularly lacking last night at the start of the first and the second periods. Both the starts of the periods in particular, they just didn't look like they had a lot of energy, which then fed into some bad passes, which then fed into the game of Nashville, which allowed them to, you know, take advantage. But that's got to be what they do on Saturday night. Make sure that the start in particular and the starts of periods have a lot of fire and energy. I mean, you have to bring that, and that's a difference with what the Sharks are compared to what they were in the past. I mean, the Tank is still an energy-filled, loud building to play in, and if you get it going early on, it's a difficult atmosphere to play in for the opposition. And that's a big part of the goal of being in your own house. Make life difficult. You do that as a fan. You do that with your home ice advantage. You do that with everything that goes into playing at home. And hopefully that's what we will see on Saturday night. And like what I said, will be one of the most emotionally charged moments of the season. I mean, that's going to be a big one. Retiring Patrick Marleau's number. You know, they declared that it's going to be Patrick Marleau Day on February 25th in the city of San Jose. It's exciting. And you would hope that the team is able to match that excitement. But with the way the team has played this year, there are no guarantees, unfortunately. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to get into some post-game sound. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Penalty killing out for the Sharks. Nashville 1-for-1 on the power play so far in this game. They ended an 0-for-21 streak on the man advantage going back. That's a road streak. There's a break the other way.
Wow, you should show
Nico Sturm is going for it. Moving in shorthanded, shoots. He scores! Nico Sturm, a tremendous individual effort. The Sharks poked it out to center ice. There was a lot of open space for Sturm to chase down the puck. He got there first because of that great acceleration and determination. And then he beat Jussi Saros to get the Sharks on the board with only the second shorthanded goal the Sharks have scored all year.
No, I mean, the standings have looked tough since, you know, the start of the year. You know, we started 0-6 and we've always found we've always found energy to play, and I think there's always good reasons to play hard, even if you're dead last in the league. You know, you can, first of all, you've got to play for each other. You know, you can't put the guy next to you in a tough spot by leaving guys uncovered, losing your battles. But then there's also, you know, you can always play for your next contract. You can play for your spot on the team next year. There's a lot of reasons to show up, and unfortunately tonight didn't look like we found any of those.
Welcome back, everyone. Nico Sturm laying it out there that there's always something to play for regardless of where you are in the standings. And unfortunately, the Sharks just did not have that bounce. They did not have that pep in that step. They did not have any of what they needed to compete with Nashville last night. They lost the battles, and it was frustrating because they had their moments. I mean, again, you go back to when Sturm scores the shorthanded goal that makes it a 2-1 game. Shortly thereafter, you get it. Carlson leaving the box on a breakaway. He's got a chance to tie it, not able to take advantage. The Sharks go down 3-1 and 4-1. They make it 4-2, and they've got the opportunity to make it a one-goal game with two power plays in the third that would have really changed the outlook. It was like, this is where the game is being decided, and unfortunately, they were not able to get it done. But just, you know, that's the type of season it's been for the Sharks, right? Like, they just simply do not consistently have the ability to find the back of the net. They do not have the ability to, you know, take advantage of situations. It doesn't feel like there is a consistency in their game. And when you combine that with the fact that they were having an off night, it led to what was a relatively demoralizing 6-2 loss when all was said and done. More from Sturm now, who I think at this point we have all established that when Sturm speaks, we should listen.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty lifeless performance by the group overall. I think, you know, although we're obviously not looking too good in the standings, I thought at least one thing that was always going for us this year is that the group was competing hard. We always looked like everybody was trying and found a reason to play for something. And tonight was one of the rare occasions, I thought, where just all the areas of the ice, we looked weak. And we pretty much lost all the battles. That's kind of what it comes down to. You know, you don't finish your hits. You lose one-on-one battles all over the ice, and made it look like their group had a lot of fun against us tonight. And that's tough to watch, as a fan, I bet.
And when you hear things like that, when they acknowledge the fans in that type of a capacity, that means that they are really, really displeased with their performance. Not because they're thinking about the fans. I think they are always thinking about the fans. But when they call themselves out and say that they were not a good show for the fans, I think that's when there is some of that embarrassment that they're always looking to avoid. I think that's when they, you know, really are taking a look in the mirror and wondering, what type of a show are we putting on for the people who pay our salaries? And I think that's a valid take from him. I mean, I know that I was there in person last night. I wasn't exactly in love with the performance, but at the same time, I get in for free. It's my job. I'm not paying my hard-earned money to go see these guys. You know, when you are buying those season tickets, when you are buying the merchandise, when you are one of the people who are giving these players a great life, you do expect to see more. And I think that's something that I definitely understand and respect Sturm for why he is saying that. You know, by going out and saying it's not fun for the fans, he's calling out every aspect of what the Sharks did last night. It's not just enough that he's unhappy. He is saying, hey, the people who are paying our way in life are not appreciating what we're putting out there on the ice. Or in his perspective, it is simply not good enough. And you love that type of accountability. You know, I think a guy like Nico Sturm understands it completely. He puts forth a great effort every night, but it's not enough for him to put forth that effort. He wants the team to be putting forth that effort, and it wasn't there last night, unfortunately, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was not the greatest start. I think in general, starts haven't been our strength. I think if you always look at the first couple of shifts, we've given up a lot of goals or a lot of, even just grade A scoring chances. So I'm not really sure where that comes from, but if we did have a weak start, we've always found a way to, kind of claw our way back in. I think maybe like the home game against Dallas, I think, is a good example. I think we were down 3-0 or 2-0 pretty quick, and we hung in there. And tonight was just, it didn't look like there was any energy on the squad tonight.
And that was the thing I think that makes it even more frustrating, is that the Sharks had their chances. They had opportunities. They had moments where they were maybe going to be able to swing the game in their favor. Like I said, the goal from Nico Sturm on a shorty was enough to have a momentum sway that you hoped carry them to a game-tying goal shortly thereafter. And then Carlson had an opportunity, wasn't able to bury it. But the difference of the past versions of the Sharks versus what we've seen as of late is that previous versions of the Sharks would have found the game-tying goal and would have gone ahead. And that's just the extreme difference between what the Sharks have been at home this year versus past versions, and maybe even last year. I mean, last year, they had comeback wins against Winnipeg. They had big moments against Winnipeg. There haven't been too many moments this year. I mean, like he alluded to, the comeback against Dallas is a big one that we do point to, and that was a very, very nice win, but there haven't been nearly enough. And again, like he said, it's not a good show for the fans. You know, they all know that they need to be better, and I'm sure there's a lot of frustration that's built into what we're seeing out there on the ice, and it's something that's got to change. And the one thing that is very nice about the Sharks, we've talked about this time and time again, is that, you know, they don't have back-to-back games of this poor caliber, so hopefully they will be able to bounce back with a higher caliber performance on Saturday night when they do have so much emotion in the building. A little bit from head coach David Quinn.
Yeah, well, found some energy there to start the third by getting that goal and draw a penalty and have a chance to maybe get a power play and close it to 4-3. And just as our power play happened all night long, gave us no life. It's been struggling for a while here, and unfortunately we weren't able to take advantage of the opportunity, and then they get one right after the power play. And really, it was a microcosm of the game in a lot of ways.
A microcosm because it represented opportunity for the Sharks, the ability for them to get themselves back into the game, the ability to score, the ability to take advantage of a situation. And all throughout the game, when those opportunities presented themselves, they weren't able to take advantage. And I know that you're going to say, well, Ted, they scored a shorthanded goal. And it's like, yeah, I get that, but that's not an advantageous situation. You're on the penalty kill right there. That is a great effort from Nico Sturm to make something out of nothing. But that's not a situation that I would call advantageous. Great play, but it didn't present itself as an opportunity when you go on the kill. Like, oh, here's our chance, guys. we'll go and score a shorthanded goal. Like, no, no one's writing it up that way. But when you do have a power play, when you do have a 4-2 game and you get two consecutive power plays and the opportunity to get yourselves back into the game at that point and cut it to a one-goal deficit and change the entire dynamic, that was where the Sharks were lacking. And the power play was lacking. It spoke to what they had not been able to do all throughout the course of the game when they had good looks. When they had any good opportunity, it was something they were not able to take advantage of, which, again, it's unfortunate, but that's very much what the Sharks' season has been defined by, and certainly what last night was most definitely defined by, and hopefully that's something they are able to work on going forward. When opportunities present themselves, you have got to be able to take advantage. The power play has not been great as of late, but it, you know, that's got to turn around at some point. You've got to be able to turn a negative into a positive, take that weakness, turn it into a strength. And I don't just mean this year when I talk about, you know, in the future. I'm talking about next year. I'm talking about beyond. Like, if the Sharks want to be a contending team again, they've got to have that power play be consistent. They've got to be opportunistic. They've got to be, you know, able to take advantage of situations. And again, I know this isn't rocket science. I'm not breaking anything down, but it's the consistent what they are not doing. And it's much easier this year for me to define what they are not doing versus what they are doing.
Yeah, I don't think we had a, I thought that, you know, from start to finish, we had a pretty good effort against Seattle. Tonight, it was really a 180. I thought we were lifeless. I thought we were really not sharp in a lot of ways. And it was team-wide. You know, there weren't many guys that had good nights tonight. And, you know, we've got to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And it hasn't happened often, as we've touched on, but, you know, pretty disappointing tonight.
And one of the things that I do take solace in is that at least everybody had the same assessment, right? Like, nobody was looking at this game as something that it was not. Like, everybody seemed to see it for what it was. It was an effort that is not worth, you know, repeating and not worth really taking that much of beyond saying, hey, this wasn't nearly good enough. And when you have everyone in agreement on that assessment, I think that gives you a good base to build from. Like, you can't just have one or two guys saying it wasn't good enough. You have to have everybody in agreement that it wasn't good enough. And I think that's, you know, whether you hear Sturm, whether you hear Quinn, and those are two guys that are pretty blunt. And even though we didn't get to talk to any other players, the mood that I saw on that bench, the way that guys were after the game, just seeing them kind of milling about, getting ready to go home, it didn't look like anybody was happy. And I think that there are some nights where you can lose and feel okay with it. And that's happened to the Sharks a couple times as of late in particular. But last night was not one of those nights. And again, that's what you have to hope on, is that everybody wants to rectify and make good on what happens and put forth another good effort when they do go up against Chicago on Saturday night. Because again, you're going to have a packed house. It's going to be a meaningful night. You need to not do what happened in this game.
We just weren't mentally sharp. I didn't think we managed the puck well. I didn't think we played at a pace. I didn't think we were physical. I didn't think we were competitive. So a pretty lifeless performance from start to finish in a lot of ways.
But like we keep on saying, in light of that problematic play that they displayed last night, this hasn't been something that they've done for two games in a row very often this year, or at all, really.
Yeah, we really haven't done it twice in a row, which, you know, over 82 games, you're not going to have your great night all the time. But, you know, the good teams, their bad isn't that bad. And unfortunately for us, when we've had bad nights, it's been pretty bad. So, you know, we've got to find a way to raise our floor in a lot of ways, not only raise our ceiling, but we find a way to raise our floor. So if you're not feeling it or things aren't going well, you find a way to manage a game and simplify it and fight through it and make it real difficult on your opponent. And we didn't do that tonight.
So the hope is that the Sharks are going to be able to bounce back on Saturday, and it's going to be a big night. And we're going to have a big night of coverage right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Starting at 3, we're going to have the Teal Carpet Show, Drew Remenda and Tara Sloan. At 4:15, we're going to have a Patrick Marleau special that is airing. 5:15 to 5:30, that'll be kind of a lead-in to the Marleau ceremony. 5:30 to 6:15 will be the ceremony in and of itself. 6:15 to 6:30, we're going to have the wrap-up of the ceremonies. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock, Sharks and Chicago. Unfortunately, I will not be there for the pregame because at the same time, the Earthquakes are kicking off their 2023 campaign, so I will be doing that broadcast. But, you know, again, it's going to be a special night, and I was talking about this last night on NBC after the game, if you saw the segment, and, you know, somebody asked me what was my favorite Marleau moment, and, you know, it was hard for me to really pick one just because there are so many, but you know, to me, the one that really does stand out is when he broke the record for the all-time games played. Like, that to me is the testament to everything his career was about, his enduring nature, his consistency, more than the goals and the moments and the hat tricks. It was like, this guy was going to show up and he was going to go all out. And he did it for so long, for so many games. Again, to see this honor go down on Saturday night, pretty spectacular. All right, we are out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.